People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Getting affordable housing built has never been easy, and today there are some additional concerns that people who build affordable housing have to concern themselves with. One of those is being environmentally responsible. And Katie Lamont, who's a senior project developer for Eden Housing, spends a lot of her time and her consciousness worrying about just that thing. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Hi.
So tell me what some of the concerns are that you focus on when dealing with making buildings, new construction in particular, as environmentally responsible as possible.
Well, the things we think about when we're building are trying to make sure that the buildings are, or the way that we build is responsible to the environment, the world, but also to the people that are going to live in our buildings. So the first things we focus on are energy efficiency and also indoor air quality. And then we also look at things like conserving water and conserving resources, so reusing resources or using durable resources that will last for a long time.
How long has this been an issue in the affordable housing world?
Well, I've been working in affordable housing since 2000, and in California, that's been on everyone's mind since that time. And over the last 8 years, it's definitely become more and more a part of people's consciousness, and it's become more and more important to our city partners and to our funders.
How does that work in terms of your funders? Because they're loaning you money to focus on a particular issue, which is to provide housing to low-income people. Mm-hmm. And in general, isn't it true that building green is more expensive than not?
It is true that building green adds cost to the project. And Eden's approach, and those, that of many other affordable housing developers, is to focus initially or primarily on features that add the biggest benefit for the smallest cost. So we do the cost benefit analysis, and that's so there we have a list of things that we would typically do on all projects because they have high benefit and relatively low cost. And then if we have the resources or there's special grant funds available, there's a next tier of things that we might do if we have the luxury, if we have the funding to afford it. And then there are some things that we know are great and sexy, but we can't afford them. They just don't make sense.
What are some of those first line things that you do in every project at this point?
First line things are things like installing water conserving faucets and shower heads, water conserving toilets, using less toxic materials like low VOC paints and low VOC adhesives and sealants.
Double pane windows.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The first place that we really focus is on the energy efficiency of the building. We have to meet the energy codes, and then we've been incentivized for a very long time to meet them by at least 10%, and then often as much as 15 or 20%.
So what would be an example of something that you would do in a building that would really allow you to exceed those targets?
Well, a primary way is by installing an efficient water heater, making sure that the other elements of the HVA system are high performing. Another thing, too, that we've been doing much more recently is to, when they install the ducts, to make sure that they're sealed tightly. And that has two benefits. One is it makes the system operate more efficiently so that you're not losing air that you've heated just seeping out. And it also improves indoor air quality because you're not bringing in things from the building cavity that into the air that people breathe.
So you're talking about two basic priorities, one being energy efficiency mm-hmm. and the other being indoor air quality. What are some of the right. kinds of things you can do to ensure that the air quality inside of the structure is as good as it can be?
Right. Well, a lot of that has to do with the materials that we select. And so one of the challenges with green building is that we are basically looking at every single material and every single system that we install and looking at its impacts and how we could do things better. So, for example, we have been in recent years doing a lot more of linoleum flooring as opposed to sheet vinyl, because sheet vinyl has some toxic elements that off gas. And so a person living in a unit that has sheet vinyl, you know, it doesn't kill you, but it affects your health. And that material that's in the sheet vinyl off gases for some long period of time. And so now we're looking at using linoleum instead, which does not off gas and lasts longer. But one of the things that we're finding is a challenge is that's sort of what we've been told and what we think is true. And right now we're trying to figure out how to test whether it is in fact true. And we're having that challenge now with a development that I recently completed where a tenant damaged the linoleum tile, and now it's a challenge for our management company. How do I replace this linoleum tile? Can I patch this little piece right here? Or if I have to replace it because a tenant damaged it, it costs a lot more than sheet vinyl. So even though it's supposed to last 50 years, if a tenant damages it, that's been a challenge for us, is to try to figure out, is it really going to last longer? And then if it needs to be replaced, finding new vendors, finding people that can repair, working with our management company to help them embrace green. I think that's something we need to work on a lot, is involving them earlier on in our decision making.
Do you ever get pushback from funders on this, that they're giving you money for affordable housing but don't want to spend extra costs to make it green?
I think there is a little bit of I don't know if unfunded mandate is quite the right word, but a lot of social agendas are loaded onto affordable housing. And so everyone wants us to provide housing for low-income people, which is what motivates most of us to do this work. But many people like me who are motivated to do this work also want to be responsible to the environment, and so do the funders, which is great. So one of the challenges we do have is that it does add costs. And so, you know, from the funder's perspective, they also want to stretch their dollars as far as they can. They want to say they built the most units. So there is some tension there.
But as time goes on and as the world generally becomes mm-hmm. more responsible about these things, I would think it would be less of a fight and people would end up being.
Yeah,
more
I don't think it's really a fight. I think actually most of our funders now require us to do green to some level. So it's something we're actually pretty much required to do. And then it's something that we are embracing, and we're trying to go above and beyond what we're required to do. And we're also trying to look ahead and see where trends are going so that we are ahead of the curve. And we are finding that this is increasingly important to our local partners, our local cities. And that's where we get our initial seed money. And that's who we rely on for the initial support of our projects and our, you know, our entitlements and our approvals. So we found that, it's very important for us as we're marketing ourselves to new cities to be able to talk about how we have really integrated green and we understand it and we are, you know, always seeking to improve our knowledge and do better and better.
Katie, is building green affordable housing a national trend? Is California in the lead on this?
It is a national trend, and I would say that I think California is leading the trend in that. I just came back from a conference in Minneapolis that drew people from all around the country who are working on greening affordable housing. There's a group called the Enterprise, it's Enterprise Communities or Enterprise Foundation, and they are really trying to bring people together and help fill some of the gaps. Because one of the challenges that I've had when I try to build green is looking at a new technology or new material, trying to figure out how much it's going to cost. It's been harder than you would imagine to just find out how much something costs. And so one of the things they're trying to do is to establish some kind of database or benchmarking to help people get a better sense of how much it actually costs.
You're not always building from scratch, right? In many cases, you're renovating an existing structure.
Yes. Yes. We often rehab.
Is that even more challenging?
It can be. I think that in terms of green building, when you're building from scratch, you're just, you know, you have a total control, I mean, within a budget about what you can do. With a rehab, your benchmarks is typically you have to somehow model the performance of the existing building and then model the way that the building will perform with the improvements that you make. And so one of the things I've been learning is that the modeling itself is not perfect. And so there are limits to the model, or there's limits to the human beings that you interact with who are working the model. So,
and do you run into situations where there are significantly toxic materials, asbestos or whatever, in buildings that you're going to try to rehab?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. So one thing that I really have been trying to talk about more and more now is a lot of the work that Eden does is with brownfields, and then also with rehab sites, there's existing lead-based paint and asbestos that typically needs to be abated. So that's sort of one category of those are toxic materials that need to be abated. Those are pretty well understood, lead-based paint and asbestos. We've also been increasingly, because land is so scarce in California, and you know, it takes us a long time to assemble the money and get the entitlements. So we are often buying sites that either because the land is so scarce or because this is a site that a community has identified that they want a transformation on, and they've chosen Eden or another affordable housing developer to do that. We're buying sites that might have had a dry cleaner on them or a gas station or nurseries where they might have used pesticides, where there are issues in the soil or the groundwater that need to be addressed before we can even begin. So that's something, that aspect of the work is something that I ended up falling into, but it's something that I actually really, really enjoy, because in addition to providing affordable housing for people that need it, I'm also taking land that everyone else gave up on that's just sitting there rotting, and I'm able to transform it to make it safe and also to make it useful again and thriving. So I've really enjoyed that part of the work.
I would imagine that that adds enormous costs to a project if you have to really clean up the land.
It does. It adds a lot of costs. It also adds a lot of uncertainty and a lot of timing. I mean, there's, you know, the environmental consultants, there's the regulators, and then the regulations change. We've had that happen to us midstream, rules change, and then you have to go back to the drawing board. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges, is that there's so much, things are always changing and it's hard to keep up, and there's so many unknowns. And
is that the good news and the bad news, that regulations are always changing? Because it would seem to me that they would be changing to make environmental responsibility legislated, which mm-hmm. ultimately I would think certainly a good thing for the environment.
Right. I mean, ultimately, you know, the regulations tend to say you have to clean up more to make it safer for the future, which is a good thing. It's just a challenge if you've already come up with a plan about how you're going to clean up and budgeted for it, and then you find out you have to do more. I mean, I think we would like to do more. We want to be safe, but then it just becomes a challenge of how do you readapt and where do you find the money?
It seems to me that there's no end to how environmentally responsible you could be. How do you determine where to draw the line and say, you know, this is really not necessary, because it's so not cost effective? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you draw the line between being responsible and being uber responsible?
Right. Well, one of the challenges we have found is that right now, something that's very sexy to people is to go solar. And solar is a great thing, but really the first investment should be in energy efficiency and having a tight envelope and making sure that the energy that you're using most efficiently and you're not leaking it out all kinds of ways.
And that's true for all housing, right?
This is true.
Not just
this
new construction true. And not this just true. Affordable housing.
Right. But I think one of the challenges is that, you know, if your motivation is, and part of our motivation is, you know, to have PR around this, the solar is really visible and out there and people see that, and it's pretty easy for people to understand basically what that's about. In terms of increasing energy efficiency, there's all these myriad details, and it's like about the energy efficiency rating of your water heater and
not
how
so
tightly,
sexy.
Not so sexy. And not so visible from the outside.
And yet makes a big difference.
Yet makes a big difference.
And is much cheaper.
Yes.
And lasts forever.
This is true.
Very interesting. Where do you see all of this going?
You know, what we've seen so far is that things that we have been doing that were optional, as people realize that these are things that all of us are choosing to do because they make sense and they're relatively cost effective and they have big benefits, those are becoming mandatory. So we're all getting sort of pushed, the envelope is getting pushed, and but I think that's a good thing, and we're learning more and more. I mean, one of the biggest challenges I have found is that there's often differing opinions about how green something is. I think I've heard this about lino. Like if lino is not coming here from California, if it's getting shipped here from Europe, how green is that? All of the transportation costs that are involved. So I think that for me has been a really big challenge, is there is not, in some
it's not black and white.
Right, right. So in the things that everyone's really clear about, okay, let's do those. But then there are a number.
Put a blanket around your water heater. That's pretty clear, right?
Right.
Lower
right.
ceilings, better than taller ceilings. Keep the heat in, those kinds of things. Insulation.
Right, right. Yes.
All of that. What I want to mention also, though, is that when you say it makes good sense, it's money well spent, the thing to keep in mind is that ultimately it will be saving money for the tenants, which is key. If you're offering affordable housing, your concern is to make life more economically viable for the people who are going to move in.
Right.
And some of these things you're talking about will reduce energy bills.
Yes, that's true. And we also have some of our own enlightened self-interest in that regard, because we have common area loads in terms of, you know, the lighting for the parking areas. If it's a senior building, we have common areas that need lighting. And for us in our ongoing operating budgets, the utility bill, like, you know, like in an individual's household budget, that's an area that has a lot of volatility. You know, the way our rents don't increase, you know, they increase at a small rate every year. And so it's very hard for us to manage big jumps in costs like utility costs.
So it may cost more upfront, but it may make a lot of sense if you're going to be keeping that property for some length of time.
Yes, that's true.
Great. Katie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Katie Lamond is Senior Project Developer for Eden Housing. I'm Joanne Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.